This podcast is for informational purposes only. Information relating to investment approaches or individual investments should not be construed as advice or endorsement. Listeners should seek professional advice for their situation.
Google Trends is a fun and interesting tool for search activity. For example, in 2021, the top movie searched on Google was Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. The top question, starting with what, was what is Squid Game? Google search can tell us what people are thinking about from an economic perspective as well. Take the week of June 12th. Americans searched the term inflation more than at any other time in the past 5 years. And that brings me to the elephant in the room. If inflation is on the minds of Americans more now than at any time in the last 5 years, how often are they searching for the dreaded R word? I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist for IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as I discuss our views on the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of July 11th, so listen on as we navigate the living market. Google Trends tells us that while inflation was a popular search for the week of June 12th, recession was even more popular and itself hit the highest level of searches in the past 15 years. This is an interesting observation in that the prior times the search for recession was near current levels were January 2008, a recessionary period, August 2019, the last time the US yield curve inverted before COVID, and March 2020, also a recessionary period. Would the Google search for recession somehow indicate that the US economy is headed for a recession? Or is it a popular search term because it's mentioned so much in the media? The National Bureau of Economic Research's traditional definition of a recession is that it is a significant decline in economic activity that is spread across the economy and that lasts more than a few months. I have mentioned in past episodes that the data would not suggest the U.S. economy is at risk of an imminent recession, but let's revisit that as we have two more months of new data. Firstly, the yield curve has inverted again. Remember that typically we need confirmation of both the 2-10 curve and the 3-month 10 curve to be a stronger signal. Nonetheless, we shouldn't dismiss an inverted yield curve. Historically, as the curve inverts, there is a median lag of 11 months to recession, which would suggest the risk of recession has nudged up for the back half of 2023. Secondly, credit conditions have tightened. Now, this is to be expected with the Federal Reserve raising its benchmark interest rate. As interest rates move higher, credit conditions tighten up and economic conditions slow. But we are not yet at levels that would be consistent with a recession. Otherwise, we haven't seen enough to suggest a recession is nearby, with one caveat. The typical definition of recession is 2 quarters of negative GDP growth. We have already seen U.S. economic growth in the first quarter contract by 1.6%. The Atlanta Fed GDP Now estimate for Q2 is an additional contraction as I record this. If this turns out to be the case, and Q2 GDP falls negative again, there will be many that will proclaim the U.S. is in a recession. But as we peel the layers of the onion away, we are likely to see that the driver of the negative growth is falling exports. This is a global economic issue rather than a U.S. economic issue. Or in other words, this is an export recession rather than a broad-based economic recession. More to the point, however, what do we do with that information? I would offer that if we are headed towards a recession, in addition to it being the most predicted, most anticipated, most talked about recession in history, it is also likely to be very different from recent recessions over the last, say, 20 years. That would mean this could be short and mild and just enough to take the froth out of inflation. That would also mean that it has largely been priced into the equity markets through the first half of 2022. Equity markets peak in advance of a recession and bottom before the end of a recession. The last time we saw the S&P 500 index drop in the first half of the year as much as it has this year was 1970. That also coincided with an 11-month recession that started in December of 1969, which was mild in comparison to what we have seen with recent economic cycles of 2020, 2008. And in the back half of 1970, the S&P 500 index rallied by 26.5% to finish the year modestly positive. There are many similarities to the 1970 period and today. History doesn't repeat itself, but it might just rhyme. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.